From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
And a very good day to my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, a great joy to share this hour with you, as we do every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And of course, we do repeat the program those same days at 10 p.m. And you can watch as we're coming to you on our Facebook page video and also a video on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. All of our audio platforms. And we do archive the programs both on our website, the audio version, and the video is archived on our YouTube channel. You can watch past programs or listen to past programs. I pray you had a blessed weekend and happy to be starting our week together anyway. And hope you're staying warm and dry today, a little misty and damp outside, but next few days. But I'm happy you're here, my friends. And today I'm going to share with you a few things the Holy Father said over the past few days that don't really get a lot of press, and I don't know why, but we should listen to what he has to say. And also today's gospel, all about forgiveness. And so I'll share with you a nice reflection from Father Fernandez from In Conversation with God. But before we do that, my brothers and sisters, we are going to pray. And as I invite you every day to do, I invite you today as well, to raise up your special prayer intentions. We are still praying this parents' deliverance prayer because we know that the family is under horrible attack, and marriage is under horrible attack. So, you know, that from the very beginning, Domestic Church Media, when we founded the apostolate over 20 years ago, that was the main intent, was to promote the cause of marriage and family life. And, boy, you know, family and marriage under such horrible attack in our culture today. And we have to pray and because we know who's behind it. So we're praying this deliverance prayer. And it is a prayer from CatholicExorcism.org. And Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, who's an exorcist himself, an American exorcist, has a number of prayers, their deliverance prayers you can go to. It's CatholicExorcism.org. But let's begin now, my friends, as we begin all good things, that is, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And now here, my friends, we either pray out loud or in our heart for those intentions that we are raising up to the throne of Almighty God. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And we'll pray our prayers to Saint Michael and to Our Lady as Holy Father asks us to pray these prayers every day to protect the Church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that intention to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you, my friends. Again, I always love coming here. You know, yesterday, down in my basement at home, I have boxes and boxes of audio cassette tapes. Remember those? Audio cassette tapes. I have a cassette tape player in my basement as well with my little studio area there. But boxes and boxes of this program, starting with, November or December of 1995, all the way up to the early 90s before we began recording on the computer. You know, we used to throw a cassette tape in and hit record when we did these programs. And it was interesting to, I threw a couple of them in the player just to hear early Jim on the radio. Interesting. But yeah, there are boxes and boxes of all these cassette tapes, and they're dated. And that wonderful interview that, actually two different interviews we had with Mother Angelica back in 1990, I guess it was 1996, 97, late 90s. And it's funny because to get Mother Angelica as a guest on your radio program was a big thing. We were thrilled, Cheryl and I. Cheryl did the interview with me, and I play a little snippet of it on one of our little promos here, where Mother says, we need Catholic radio, we need Catholic television, and we'll surely answer it to God for it if we don't have it. That's from that interview, was it? We were talking, we had just begun our work in Catholic radio. But it was about each of the interviews was about 45 minutes long on the phone. I should bring it in and play it for you someday. It's interesting to hear Mother and the interaction. But I remember the second interview that we did. Went without a hitch. Mother came on the phone and she was there, and we did about 45 minutes with us. But the next day, my friend down at EWTN, the marketing manager, I found out a little while ago that he has recently passed away. God rest his soul. His name was Bernard Lockhart, and he called me after a day or two after the interview. And he said, did you do that interview with Mother Angelica yesterday? I said, yeah, we did. It was great. He said, she was in a board meeting, and she looked at her watch and said, I have an interview to do. And she left them sitting there. She got up and came on the phone with us to do the interview and then went back to her board meeting. She could have very easily said, I can't do the interview. But he said that she just looked at her watch and said, oh, I'm sorry. You'll have to excuse me for a little bit. I have to go do an interview on the phone. And she went to her office. Now, when Cheryl and I were down at EWTN about 4 years ago when we did the Jim and Joy show, the little waiting area where we were, they asked us to wait. You know, they were setting, putting things, getting ready to record the program. So we were in this little a sitting area, and we found out that it was Mother's old office. That's the office that she would make her phone calls and do the interviews from. So, you know, Mother Angelica, she passed away March 27th of 2016. So that's, 8 years ago now? Doesn't seem that long. My goodness. Is that 8 years? Did I do my math right? Yeah, I guess it is. It's 8 years ago. My goodness. But when she, you know, she passed, the church gives you about 5 years before they can even consider opening a cause. John Paul II was an exception to that rule. Mother Teresa, I believe, also. But now it's been 8 years, and Mother's cause has not been opened yet. But when we were down at EWTN last spring, we inquired about that, and they said that they were looking for a postulator, someone to begin the cause. It involves a lot of paperwork and you know, I remember Father Andrew Apostoli of happy memory, God rest his soul. He was the vice postulator of the cause for canonization for Bishop Sheen. And they had to go through everything that Bishop Sheen ever wrote and every recording he ever made. You know, they go through these things to make sure that there was no error in their teaching. And the same thing with Mother. I mean, she has years and years and years of television programs that they have to go through each one. And things that she's written. She used to write tracts and things. But we pray for Mother's cause because she was powerful, a powerful intercessor for us here at Domestic Church Media when she was infirm. You know, she was bedridden for 15 years before the Lord called her home and progressively getting worse every year. She couldn't speak. Her mind was sharp, they would tell us. And they would let her know what we, in the very beginning of our work 20 years ago, they would let her know what we were doing. She was, and I do believe she's still praying for us in a special way. And you should invoke the intercession of Mother Angelica. You know, when she passed away, Pope Francis kind of jumped the gun when they mentioned that Mother Angelica had passed away. And he said, oh, she's in heaven. So he kind of unofficially canonized her at that moment. But we know that Mother is a very powerful intercessor. So and I don't know what's making me think of her today, but maybe the recordings I found yesterday. But we all should be praying for Mother's intercession for special needs because I do believe she's, you know, she was powerful in prayer when she walked the earth. But now that she's no longer bound by that, you know, her intercessory powers have been unleashed, you know, and so she's very powerful. We pray to her for our work here, and especially here at the Apostolate, my friends, because, you know, we're coming up next month, Easter week, we're going to have our annual Spring Radiothon, and we always just cast the net and ask you to be as generous as possible to help us. The only way we can do this, we've been doing this for, you know, 20 years, and you always come through for us. Our needs are met. Sometimes out of nowhere, quite a surprise. You know, God is a God of surprises. So we invoke Mother's intercession for that because, you know, it was she, and I mentioned this to you last week, told you the story when she told me to pray to Our Lady of Good Remedy initially, and we still do that. So anyway, Mother Angelica, pray for us, and let's go to Holy Father. There were a few things. Of course, his Angelus message on Sunday, Pope Francis spent just calling for peace in the Middle East, calling for a ceasefire. He just said, stop, just stop it all now. So that's the bulk of what, the gist of what he was saying during his Angelus message. But there were a couple other things that, maybe you're not aware of this. There has been a website out there for a number of years that a lot of people follow faithfully, called Church Militant. Church Militant. Well, Church Militant is going to be going away. They were involved in a lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit, by a priest out of New Hampshire, I think, and he won. for about $500,000. And I read an article last week in the Catholic News Agency that Church Militant is going out of business. A few months ago, the person who founded Church Militant stepped down and resigned from his position there because of something that they didn't say what it was, but that he broke the morality clause or something. And the whole thing, I have to be honest with you, I've never been a fan. I've never been a fan of Church Militant. I think they're very negative and did a lot of harm, personally, I think so, because they led a lot of people astray. And you know, as Father Groeschel says, the devil always takes it one step too far and bites himself in the tail. And I think that we don't wish ill on anybody, but truth should always be first and foremost, especially in Catholic media. Building up the kingdom, building up the church, not tearing down. So that website is going away. So they're going to be gone. And they were one of the Catholic websites that would always seem to be attacking the Holy Father in one way or another, and other people. And as I said, we need to build up. Nobody wants to join a church that's tearing itself down. We need to build up the church. We're not perfect at all. Nobody's perfect. The church isn't perfect. And, you know, the people in the church, I'm not perfect people. We make mistakes. But we should always do the best to build up the kingdom here on earth, not tear it down. But a couple of things that Pope Francis said over the weekend. One, and I went looking for it, and I really couldn't find it anywhere in most. And I found it on the Catholic News Agency and EWTN. They're obviously the legitimate media sources. But the Holy Father on Friday morning gave an address on the importance of building a culture that protects human and Christian vocations, things that he suggests were at risk due to contemporary cultural challenges, including gender ideology. The Holy Father said, "It's very important that there is this meeting between men and women, because today, listen to this, these are the words of the Holy Father, the ugliest danger in the world today is gender ideology, which cancels out differences." The Holy Father said gender ideology, which seeks to blur differences between men and women through movements such as transgenderism, makes everything the same. He said, "Erasing differences is erasing humanity. Man and woman, however, are in a fruitful tension." He said, and this is to an international conference he was speaking. Man, woman, image of God. That's the name of the international conference. Man, woman, image of God for an anthropology of vocations. The Holy Father, let me go just skip down to some things. He said there's an anthropological crisis and the necessary promotion of human and Christian vocations. The Holy Father said this task is challenged by myriad social challenges arising from the cultural zeitgeist, including gender ideology. He pointed to an elementary and fundamental truth, which today we need to rediscover in all its beauty. The life of the human being is a vocation. And he emphasized that this is a foundational element which underlies every call within the community and has to do with an essential characteristic of the human being as such. Discovery, he said, brings us out of the isolation of self-referential ego and makes us look at ourselves as an identity in relation. He emphasized that it is imperative to understand this anthropological truth as it fully responds to the desire for human fulfillment and happiness that lives in our hearts. We sometimes tend to forget or obscure this reality, the Holy Father said. It carries the risk of reducing the human being to his sole material need or primary needs, as if it were an object without conscience and without will, simply dragged by life as part of a mechanical gear. The Holy Father said to counteract this trend, there needs to be a broad recondition that the life of the human being is a vocation, and that man and woman are created by God and are the image of the Creator. And again, you know, saying, quoting, this is a quote from the Holy Father, gender ideology is the ugliest danger of our time, which nullifies differences. And I didn't really see it anywhere. Maybe I missed it. But, you know, I went to some, again, except for the EWTN news feeds, the Catholic News Agency, EWTN News, they had it. But some of these other sites didn't. But here's the Holy Father. I mean, he's been accused of, you know, promoting same-sex things, and he doesn't. He's very clear on that. He has never taught anything contrary to church teaching in that area. Another thing he did, this is last Thursday, the Holy Father met with the Superior General of the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter on Thursday, the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, and he confirmed that restrictions on the celebration of the traditional Latin Mass don't apply to that order. In other words, the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter can celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. There's no restrictions on that. This was an opportunity to showcase from the fraternity deep gratitude to the Holy Father and discuss the liturgical specificity of the Fraternity of St. Peter. It was established in 1988 as a Society of Apostolic Life of Pontifical Right by the Holy See, canonical status that was granted by Pope John Paul II. And at the heart of the fraternity's charism is the celebration of the Mass and the sacraments according to the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite, also known as the Tridentine Mass, traditional Latin Mass. The fraternity statement noted that the priests shared with the Holy Father the difficulties encountered in applying the Holy Father's February 11th of last year decree addressed to the fraternity, in which he confirmed the right of the order to celebrate the Mass according to the typical editions of the liturgical books, namely the Missal, the Ritual, the Pontifical, and Roman Breviary, in force in the year in 1962. And the Holy Father was very understanding and invited the Fraternity of St. Peter to continue to build up ecclesial communion ever more fully through its own proper charism. Getting a lot of little pop-up messages on my little laptop here. So, obviously, just confirmed that, yes, the Fraternity of St. Peter can continue to celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. There's no restrictions on them there. So that too, you know, I didn't really see anywhere. And then he gave a nice teaching from May 25th and 26th of this year. The Holy Father has created or announced that we're going to have the first ever World Children's Day in Rome, May 25th and 26th. And in a message to the children of the world for this particular first ever World Children's Day, the Holy Father reminded them, to the children of the world, that the key to happiness lies in cultivating a prayer life and personal relationship with Jesus, which in turn forms the basis of a broader social action. Holy Father writes to the children, if we really want to be happy, we need to pray a lot, to pray every day, because prayer connects us directly to God. Prayer fills our hearts with light and warmth. It helps us to do everything with confidence and peace of mind. And the Holy Father asked the children to pray the Lord's Prayer every morning and every evening in your families too, he says. Together, pray with your parents, your brothers, your sisters, and grandparents. But the Holy Father urged the children not to merely recite the words, but to reflect on their meaning and on Jesus' ministry. He's calling us, and he wants us to join actively with him on this World Children's Day to become builders of a new, more humane, just, and peaceful world. Jesus, who offered himself on the cross to gather all of us together in love, who conquered death and reconciled us with the Father, wants to continue his work in the church through us. And so he announced this creation of the World Children's Day. It's an event to bring children from all around the world together to reflect on the question, what kind of world do we wish to pass on to the children who are growing up? And the theme for this year's World Day of Children, the first one, is from the book of Revelation, "Behold, I make all things new." And the Holy Father noted that the words invite us to become as clever as children in grasping the new realities stirred up by the Spirit, both within us and around us. Reflecting on the importance of children for families, the Holy Father noted they are a sign of every person's desire to grow and flourish and a source of joy, recognition that helps foster an intergenerational link from the past to the future. That's why it's so important, you know, to keep that family bond strong and overcome difficulties. And you know, we're going to talk, when we come back from break, talk about today's gospel, where the apostles asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? You know, how many times do I have to keep forgiving him for these offenses? And we know Jesus' response. And we know that in families, unfortunately, at times, there are fallings out. There are situations that create friction and anger and fracturing of family bond. And we, especially in family, that has to be overcome. That has to be dealt with and worked out and overcome. Because that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants the family to be fractured. He wants it to be splintered, and he can't stand the family. And so the Holy Father, in this message for the first World Day of Children, again, May 25th and 26th in Rome, he said the first thing to do is pray. Pray with your parents, pray with your siblings, pray with your grandparents, you know, and the prayers of little children are so powerful. And we have to encourage that and make it a part of family life. As I've told you many times before, when I look back on the raising of our children, who are now all grown up and in their 30s, it's hard to believe, but when they were little, our bedtime ritual was all gathering together and saying our night prayers together, our nighttime prayers together. Such a special time, because create questions. They'd ask questions as they got a little older about God and about spirituality and about prayer, about faith, about church. You know, so that's where it begins, in the heart of the home, the domestic church. That's why the church calls the home the domestic church. Every home must become like a domestic church, like a church in miniature, John Paul would say. So, again, that's the World Day of Children, May 25th and 26th in Rome. And the theme this year for the first one is, "Behold, I make all things new." And Holy Father wrote a beautiful letter to the children of the world. And we should all, you know, although it's written to the children of the world, it really, he speaks to us all, because we all are his children. He is our Holy Father. And so he's teaching all of us and telling all of us, you know, about the importance and the power of prayer in our life, but especially the life of the family. Family prayer is so powerful. So we thank Holy Father for that teaching, and I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, my friends, we are going to talk about today's gospel, forgiveness, and a nice reflection by Father Fernandez from In Conversation with God. So stay where you are. There's a lot more to come on Come to Me. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything. At all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I've carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people, question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to, and I know where I'm going, and there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic Moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine only become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back on this March 5th, 2024, just a couple of weeks away from the first day of spring. Spring this year is March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph. So great way to celebrate that day as we celebrate Good St. Joseph on the 19th. So that today, I guess it's 2 weeks from today, right? Today's the 5th plus 14 is 19. Wow. Doesn't look like there's going to be much more winter left anyway. Well, as I mentioned earlier today, early in the program, my friends, you know, we are going to have our annual spring radiothon on April 3rd, 4th, and 5th. It's Easter week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I just ask you to please pray about that and just maybe ask the Lord what he might have you do to help us out. We come. This is the only way we can operate is through your generosity, the only way. And our expenses, just like everybody else's expenses, have gone up, you know, between insurance and utilities and things. Everything's gone up, and we need to just ask you, please, whatever you can do to help us out. We are doing this, as we do every spring, to get us through the summer. And then in the fall, we do something else to try to raise some more money. That's how we operate. So pray about it. It's the only way we can do this. And, you know, it's the least favorite thing of my job. Although we have a lot of fun when we do the radiothon, but actually asking for money is not my favorite thing, because I know we're all in the same boat. You know, we're all having difficulty given the state of the economy. But we need, as Mother said so many years ago, we need Catholic radio. And if we don't have it, we shall surely answer to God for it. So pray about that and how you can help us out. Today's gospel. Well, you know what? If you have our free Domestic Church Media mobile app, I hope you do. The readings are right on there. So I'm going to go to my app, click on my app, and then up in the upper left-hand corner, there's those four little squares. Hit that. A little menu appears, and I'm going to put pray and learn, and then hit pray. And there it is, daily readings, daily mass readings. So today's gospel is from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. So let's pray the gospel, and then we'll go to Father Fernandez's reflection. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When the servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." Falling to his knees, the fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgive your brother from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A familiar gospel account, one that kind of makes us think, right away, as every gospel account, every word of the gospel, every word of Holy Scripture should. But this particular one, because I think most of us can immediately recall situations in our own lives that require forgiveness. And this is what Father Fernandez writes in today's reflection on In Conversation with God. "It is almost inevitable in our daily dealings with others, at work, at home, and social relationships, that small frictions occur. It is also possible that someone may offend us or treat us unfairly, and this may hurt us. And perhaps this may happen not infrequently. Have I pardoned as often as 7 times, I might ask myself? That is to say, do I always forgive? It's the question our Lord puts to Peter in the gospel today. It is also the proposed theme for our prayer today. Do we know how to forgive on all occasions? Do we do so promptly? We are aware of our Lord's reply to Peter and to ourselves. Not 7, I tell you, but 70 times 7. That is to say, always, without limit. The Lord asks of those who follow him, of you and me, a forgiving approach and unlimited pardon. The Lord demands of his own friends a completely generous largeness of heart. He wants us to imitate him. St. Thomas says the omnipotence of God is shown above all in the act of his forgiveness and the use of his mercy, for the way he has of showing his supreme power is to pardon freely. And thus, nothing makes us so godlike as our willingness to forgive. It is where we also show our greatness of soul. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá said, "Far be it from us, therefore, to remember who has offended us, or the humiliations we've endured, no matter how unjust, how uncivil, or unmannerly they've been, because it would not be right for a son of God to be preparing and keeping some kind of dossier from which to read off a list of grievances." And Father Fernandez writes, "Although my neighbor may not improve, although over and over again he might commit the same offense or do something that offends me, I should avoid all bitterness. My heart should be pure and kept clean of enmity. The pardon we grant has to be sincere from the heart and be granted just as God pardons us." And remember, every day, my friends, we pray. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We're asking God to forgive us in the same manner that we forgive others. Let that sink in. God, forgive me my trespasses in the same way, the same manner that I forgive those who trespass against me. And I think this is what, again, makes us think, and it should make us think, Father writes, an immediate pardon without allowing bitterness or a spirit of divisiveness to eat away at our heart, without either humiliating the other person or being in any way melodramatic. Often in daily life, it is not even necessary to say you are forgiven. It's enough to smile, to change the direction of the conversation, to make an affectionate gesture, to forgive once and for all as if the offense had never taken place at all. I remember Mother Angelica would talk about forgiveness and talk about holding grudges. And she said, you know, if you're holding a grudge against someone, they still got you. You're still, you know, they're still controlling you, in effect. We've all been hurt by other people. And we have also been the one who does the hurting. I remember myself having a disagreement with an individual many years ago, and as an adult, but saying things and going back and forth, and you know how sometimes those types of situations can overheat, right? And we get a little, I know for me anyway, I do have a bit of a temper, and my Italian comes out, and you say things, and a few hours later, I remember just sitting and thinking about what I said, and that was not nice. And so I called the person and I said, I just want to apologize for the things that I was saying. I said it was out of anger and maybe my own frustration with other situations being, you know, you happen to be there and you got the brunt of it. I'm sorry. There are people that probably were in our lives at one time or another that we were, whether friend or family, that we were very, very close to, and something happened, and it fractured the relationship, and we haven't spoken to them since. But we need to forgive. We need to. Sharon and I were having this conversation the other morning, you know, in our little morning sessions with sit in the morning in the living room with a cup of coffee and just have some, obviously, time together and chat time and talk time. And just, you know, she's so busy. This is her busiest time of year. This and Advent and Christmas, you know, Easter, Lent. She's always up to something somewhere. That's why she couldn't even come down and answer the phones today, because she had to be up at the parish. But so we try to make that time every day. We can at least have some time together, as well as the evening. But the morning is nice with coffee. But we were having that discussion about forgiving and forgetting. Forgiving and forgetting. You know, to forgive means I want what's best for that person. I want the best possible for that person, best thing possible. And that's heaven. I want that person in heaven. Now, we may have enemies. We all probably do, one way or another. But we can't take that with us, because if we do, we're not going to make it. You know, and it doesn't mean that we have to. Sometimes the hurt is, and the situation is such a severe thing that happened, that it's very difficult. Things will never get back to the way they were, maybe in a friendship or a relationship. We have to let that go and just pray for the person. That's the best and easiest way to forgive, is pray. As Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You know, and when you pray for someone, especially individuals that with whom you've had falling out, you know, it softens that hardness of heart. So if we make that a habit to forgive always, always, 70 times 7, Jesus said. Father writes, it is not necessary for us to suffer great injustice before we show charity. Those little things which happen each day are opportunity enough. Arguments in the home or over trifling matters, sharp replies or disconcerting gestures often used by more than tiredness at work, in traffic jams or in the rush of public transport. We would not be living our Christian life well if, at the least sign of friction, our charity begins to grow cold and we begin to feel distance from others, or if we ourselves turn glum. Nor would it be very Christian if, when perhaps some serious damage were to cause us to lose our sense of the presence of God, our soul were to lose its peace and joy. We would not be behaving in a Christian way if we allowed ourselves to become touchy. We have to examine ourselves to see what our reactions are like when the irritations of the day crop up. Following our Lord closely implies finding, even in the area of tiny contradictions or in the case of more serious injustices, the way to holiness. And we face these little, you know, when we talk about forgiving, we think about the big things, you know, the big arguments and the big separations and split of friendship and family. But these little things, like when we're just, Father mentioned, just driving home, you know, driving your car, someone does something that annoys you, angers you, you know, to not shake your fist. Just let it roll off your back and not get angry and not feel the need to respond, to react in a negative way. I remember one time I was coming out of the grocery store a number of years ago, and I was pushing a cart. And, you know, I have a slight handicap, don't walk that fast, and there was a woman behind me. And it was going through the door, leaving the store, the grocery store, and she was behind me. And I guess I wasn't walking fast enough for her. And she made a comment as she passed by, you know, could you go any slower? Or some kind of nasty comment. And, you know, my first reaction would be to snap back. But, I, you know, the poor soul, who knows? I always think that, you know, there's obviously other issues with this person to make a comment like that to someone who has an obvious disability. So there's other issues there. And I remember, too, I was telling Cheryl that when I was 7 years old, I was riding my bicycle. I learned how to ride a bike when I was about five. You know, my dad says I was determined. I taught myself how to ride a two-wheeler. I was about 7 years old, and, you know, I wear a brace on my right leg as a result of polio as a child. I had polio when I was 9 months old, so it affects my right leg only, and I have to wear a brace. So I'm riding my bike. I'm 7 years old. I was maybe a block away from my home, and then out of the blue came this big kid. You know, he looked like big kid. I mean, he probably was about 12. But he had a baseball in his hand. And he came up, and I was riding my bike, and he came over, and he started throwing. And it was a hard baseball. It wasn't, you know, it was, and he was throwing it at me. He kept hitting me in the back and throwing it at me and calling me a cripple and get out of here. And he began to hit me, and he tore my jacket. I escaped. I got away by the grace of God. I'm sure my guardian angel helped me. And I just rode home. I was so frightened. You know, this big kid just, and only because I had a handicap. And he was, you know, pummeling me, tore my jacket. Obviously, it was very upsetting for a 7 year old, you know, to go through that because of a disability. But a few weeks after that, I was riding my bike in the same area. And all of a sudden, out of the bushes came this kid. And I began to pedal as fast as I could get away. And he said, "No, stop, please stop, stop." And he put out his hand. "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry I did that to you. I never should have done that to you." And I thought he was going to, you know, he was tricking me. But he was very sincere. He was apologizing for having done what he did. I don't know whether someone saw him do it and made it. I don't know. But I think about it. Isn't it funny? I'm, you know, that's over 60 years ago. And I still think of that kid. Who knows? Maybe he's passed on by now. And every now and then in my prayer, I say some prayers for him. I say, who knows? He obviously may have had issues. And forgive him. I don't hate him. I don't hold a grudge. I just know, he did what he did, and he apologized, and I forgive him. It's not always easy. You know, people hurt us, and we have these very serious fallings out, you know, and we separate, and we let pride get in the way. You know, pride is a key. Avoid pride at all costs, because pride will prevent us from forgiving. Pride will prevent us from taking that extra step to forgive. Jesus said, 70 times 7 we must forgive. And when we pray the Our Father, we're asking God to forgive us in the same manner that we forgive others. And if we're not forgiving others, Almighty God will hold us to our word and our request. So we have to be careful, especially in this season, you know. Maybe there are people that are, you know, you had arguments and you know, there's been a fracturing of relationship. Maybe now's the time to reach out and say, you know, we're family. It shouldn't be this way. I'm sorry. Let's be family again. Or, you know, we were wonderful friends. We had great times together. It never should have ended the way it did. Let's be friends. Doesn't mean you have to go back necessarily. Family is different. You know, to me, in my mind, family is family. you can't just leave. Acquaintances, friendships is a little different, but family is blood. Maybe it's the Italian in me, I don't know, but you'll always be family. That's never going to change. So you got to make the best of it and do what you can to heal the wounds. Heal the wounds. Ask for forgiveness. Apologize where apologies are necessary. Forgive when you are hurt, and forgive the other person for what he or she's done to you. But this season reminds us, you know, life on this planet is short. And one day, you know, we hope to be in heaven with those people that in this world we don't like. we're going to be there, hopefully, with them. So let's get it over with now and ask for the forgiveness that is required. Apologize as necessary and forgive 70 times 7. I got to go. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing, my friends. Thank you for being a part of my day, and I will look forward to being with you again tomorrow at 4 o'clock. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you, and God love you. Rest in me.